I'm Alderman Ron Singer. I represent the 4th Ward. I'd like to welcome you to our committee, the whole meeting, on this beautiful October 8th evening. And I call the meeting to order. Mr. Clerk, would you please realize that, of course, we have two aldermen not present this evening, Alderman Dantino and Alderman Brown. So let's go on with our first order of business, and that is to consider the consent agenda. And I'm asking to approve the committee of the whole minutes from September 24th, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Mark, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Thank you, sir. Unanimously. So we wound down now to the presentation this evening, and we have some very exciting news, and we're very pleased that we're going to be having a new police officer in our community. So I'd like Officer Matthew Hahn to please come forward, and we'll swear you in. Our city clerk will handle the swearing-in process, and our mayor will be at hand. Matthew, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to come forward to the podium and tell us something about yourself.
Yeah, and slide the podium over as well so you're on TV.
Now, as official employee, you're just going to boss.
I thought you set this up so it would tip when I tried to push it.
Tell us something about your background and why did you endeavor to come into the position as a police officer?
Okay. I actually worked as a police officer previous to this in Minooka, Illinois. And I have about 5.5 years of police experience in Minooka. And I just, as you see, recently made the move here up north.
So Ed, prior to that, your background was in what area?
Prior to that, I worked at Barnes & Noble for 8 years as a bookseller.
Is that a natural transition from bookseller?
Yes.
And I see you have some family in the audience. Would you please introduce them?
I do. This is Nicole, my fiance, in the front row here.
Now, Nicole, when's the wedding?
next year at this time.
No specific date set, though?
Not yet.
Still we'll waiting for something better?
This is my mom, Cindy. Nothing for mom.
You gave me all the stuff. I couldn't read it.
Yeah. The man with the camera is Mark, my father.
Hey, Mark.
And the fella, the handsome bald fella at the end there, is Matt Juris. He's my good friend, and I worked with him at Minooka. We were both police officers there, where he currently works.
Wonderful.
What enticed you to seek a position here in Geneva?
I was looking for something a little bigger than Minooka, and the population here in Geneva is about 10,000 more, and the police department is about 30% bigger here. So I've just kind of been looking for something a little more, you know.
Not enough crime there in Minooka?
No, it's pretty slow. Pretty slow in Minooka.
We could hear that.
Come to the right place.
Yeah. did you ever arrest John Williams?
It doesn't sound familiar.
It doesn't sound familiar.
No. Okay.
He must have left and the crime rate went down then.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's a radio personality in town, Chicago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You don't listen to WGN, do you?
No. Yes. No, I don't.
Not old enough.
It's not
he's not old, exactly.
It's not Metallica. I don't listen to it.
You're a Metallica fan?
Yeah, I am.
Are you really?
Yes.
Does that explain all this product in your hair?
You should have seen me before. That's all I'll say.
Well, I understand your driver's license photo is rather frightening.
It isn't anymore as of October 3rd, so there's no need to think about my old driver's license. We don't even have to discuss it if you guys don't want to.
Brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
Yeah. Where's he?
Plainfield right now. Probably got his feet up watching TV.
Really?
He works until 6:30, so he wouldn't have been able to make it in time.
Well, hopefully he's watching.
So, well, if it's televised, which I still don't believe you that it is.
Mm-hmm. So. Channel 10 here, worldwide.
It's broadcast live. We broadcast four times a day. It is. Mom and Dad, we'll make a CD for you if you'd like, or a DVD.
And
CD.
Charge you for it, but no.
Right. Yeah. It'll be $1,000 for a copy, but we'll make it for you. Now, I understand that you came to Geneva because you wanted a bigger department experience.
Yes.
You mentioned nothing about the professional leadership in this department.
Oh, I thought that speaks for itself.
Oh,
so.
Jesus, what the heck? This was an easy choice, Chief, wasn't it? Who do you partner with currently on the force here in Geneva?
I just had my first day today, so
that wasn't my question. Well, my question was, who's mentoring you?
Sergeant Meduzia.
Ah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He does our liquor code too.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait till you hear a background on that thing. He's a good man.
Yes he is.
So, you went to which high school?
I went to Joliet West.
Played ball. Played sports. In the band, theater, anything?
Just tried to fly under the radar there.
Did you really? So, got out in 4 years?
I did get out in 4 years, yes.
Awesome. Thanks. And now you're at Lewis University?
Yep.
Studying?
Yep. Criminal justice.
So how ironic.
Kind of going backwards.
But yeah?
It's only been an 8-year attempt at a 4-year degree, so bear with me.
So student debt will be something, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, the pay here is extraordinary.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. So your first day on the job was today?
First day was today.
Anything exciting happen?
It's just orientation week, so it's all
paperwork. So you don't actually get to go out?
No, not until next week. Next week we go out on the street.
You get to carry a gun on your first week?
I get to carry a gun.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I know.
With bullets?
No.
So have you thought about Geneva as a place for the wedding?
Nah, not really. We haven't really, I think it's going to be Starved Rock.
Oh, that's
wedding,
nice.
So, yeah, but nothing's concrete yet, so.
Well, you could probably arrest a bunch of high schoolers going there after prom. Sorry, Don.
I never got caught.
No. So what do you know about Geneva that you want to share with us that you learned on your first day?
Well, they got a very structured field training program, which is a welcome change from where I came from because there really wasn't much there back when I first got hired. So it's very structured, and I think I'm going to get a lot out of it. So that's the big thing that stood out today was just how organized everything is.
Oh, that's good.
Compared to the, you know.
You're on TV.
This organization of where I'm coming from, so.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. And you wear a suit quite well.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
When's it due back? Are you nervous?
I'm terrified.
Why? I mean, half of these men and women have a record up here on the council.
I can't get my boiling hot face in the cool air fast enough.
Really? So. are you going to dinner tonight?
To dinner.
Where are you heading?
I think we're going to eat at Chili's, so I figured we'd go out and celebrate afterwards.
Mom and Dad spent all their money on your 8 years of college, or what? It's like, where's Chili's located?
I think it's on 59. I remember passing.
Oh, you're going way back there toward Bartlett.
Yes.
Well, West Chicago. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Never thought about dining here in Geneva?
I The thought has crossed my mind.
See, let me explain something. When you shop and eat in Geneva, it provides revenue, which, ergo, provides you. Yeah. Mark, Cindy, change plans. What else? Anything else you want to share with us?
No, I think that about wraps it up. If anybody wants to talk not televised, I'd be more than willing to. So just let me know.
You better get used to security cameras, man. It's like. So when do you graduate from Lewis?
I have two more classes to go.
Is that right?
So, yeah, it's coming up.
Awesome.
It was going to be in December this year, but I had to drop some stuff because of getting this job. I couldn't complete some of the classes.
Okay.
So, but I got more starting up in November, so I'm going to finish it off. Just got two left. That's all.
That's awesome. And then is there more academy work for you then to refine your skills as
a
police
officer? No, just field training. I've got 14 weeks of field training here.
Wow.
So.
So, Chief, do we do the field training like we did with the other officers where we experience accidents and what have you and bring in actors to help do that?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was fun. Good living, man. Well, you're right, Alderman Marks. He is kind of odd, but I think it's exciting. Mom and Dad, you want to say anything about your son?
I just want to say that we're extremely proud of him.
Absolutely. Notice how quiet your dad is. That's a commute for you, isn't it?
It's not too bad.
No,
it's maybe about 45 minutes
okay.
on a good drive. So not too bad. Winoka's was about the same distance. It was just south instead of north.
Yeah.
So I just got to find a way around 59 because it's.
I'll just put one of those red things on top of your car and fly. Well, we're delighted to have you here.
Thank you very much.
We really are. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mom and Dad, thanks. Nicole, thank you. Friend from Manuka. And it's pronounced Manuka, not Manuka.
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 Yes, sir.
It's pronounced Geneva, by the way. Don't screw that up again, for God's sake.
Right.
We look forward to seeing you on the streets.
Thank you very much.
And be
everybody.
Safe.
Thank you, guys. I will. You
okay.
Too.
Thank you. If you guys need to sneak out to go to that four-star Chili's, go ahead. It's like,
I'm going to go dunk my head in ice water now.
So long, Mom and Dad.
Thanks. Well, we get on down to the rest of our business for the evening. We have item number 5A, which is to recommend the acceptance of the fiscal year 2011 to 2012, which is the comprehensive annual financial report. Our financial manager, Tom Dahl, will introduce our next guest. Mr. Dahl, please.
Good evening, everybody. Frank Costable from Costable and Stephens, our auditor, is here to answer any questions you might have on the CAFRA. And he's got some opening remarks, and we'll go with that.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me tonight. Let's see. Okay, so typically we do two letters for you guys. So we do the comprehensive annual report. This year, there's only one letter. It's the required communications to the board letter. And in that letter, we describe some of the things in the audit if there's any problems. Like if there's any problems with management, if we came up with any significant journal entries that the city was not doing anything properly, we comment in this letter some of the things that we would have found. And as you read through the letter, you'll see that there were no disagreements. There were no significant journal entries. The only comment that I wanted to point out in this letter is there was a new GASB standard, 54, regarding the fund balance and how the fund balance is going to be treated in the financial statements. So we're just letting you know that standard was implemented in fiscal year 2012. The other letter that we typically put out is called a management letter. As we're doing our auditing procedures, if we find any deficiencies with the way that the city is doing something, or if we find any areas that the city can improve on, we put those in the letters. We had no comments to the management letter this year. Our comment last year consisted of the compensated absences, and that was being tracked manually. And our recommendation was for the city to implement a computerized system to to start tracking that, which they've done, and I think it's actually just been started within the last week or two. So they did adhere to that recommendation from us. Any questions about this letter?
Anyone from Dias? Any questions?
Okay.
Frank, I remember last year when you did a presentation, there were some issues that you felt that should be clarified, and apparently we followed those instructions quite well, and so you're pleased with that.
Absolutely, yep. I think the new system's going to help out a lot with the way that it was restructured on the accounts and being able to pull information out of the system, make it more user-friendly for the finance department to get good information out of the system. Things were all put into single accounts. We've split those out. We've split some of the funds out. It's going to just be a lot easier to manage and pull information out to help the city better manage and run itself.
Yeah, we're very pleased with the way Mr. Dahl functions in that department, and he does an admirable job and takes instructions quite well. Pleased with that.
Yeah, the overall audit went extremely well. This is, I think, Tom's second year with the audit. These last 3 years, we've seen a significant improvement in the finance department with the way that we've received the information to do the audit, the way that the audit information is being tracked and maintained, and the report. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to review the report, but there's been significant changes in the last 2 to 3 years. I think you're all aware that you guys applied to get the certificate from GFOA for the budget, and we're in line in setting up these financial statements to apply to get the certificate for next year in 2013. So there's some significant changes in it, some new footnotes that got added. There's a whole statistical section, excuse me, on page 95 to page 111 of a whole bunch of trend information and some good vital information about the city that is all required to be able to get that certificate. So there's only a couple things that I wanted to point out in the financial statement. We got the highest level of assurance. We got an unqualified opinion. That's on pages 1 and 2. There are no complications. You're applying to all the GAAP requirements and all the GASB requirements. On pages 3 through 12, that's the management discussion and analysis, which is a really good summary of what happened to the city. It's a good read. It's written by Tom in management, and it kind of puts in, I want to say, layman terms about what happened with different aspects of the city, the revenues, the expenses, how you met your budget or didn't meet your budget, the capital expenditures, the debt positions. It's a very good read. If you don't do anything, I'd highly recommend you at least read those pages in the report. I mentioned in GASB 30, we implemented GASB 54. If you look on page 16, and then in the footnotes on page 39, you'll see how we broke out the fund balance in comparison to the prior years. It has to do with committed and assigned and restricted fund balances. It kind of is, the goal is to give the equity section some transparency so you can see where the funds are going to be spent in the future. So another couple good pages to look at is page 21 and 22. That's the profit and loss statement of the electric and water fund. You can see how your revenues and expenses are doing in both of those funds. And on pages 27 and 28 is a table of contents for the footnotes. There's approximately 44 pages of footnotes. So if there's anything that you want to look up, it's a good reference point to start to try to, you know, find your way through all those footnotes. And like I said, there's a couple new footnotes that are in there regarding the equity section, again, to help us meet the compliance of achieving to get the CAFRs. So you'll see those new footnotes being added. And another good page for you to take a look at is page 92. That compares the budget to actual. So you can take a look at what you guys budgeted for the year and where you actually came up. And it looks like you were in budget in all but two funds, and the two funds that were over were less than $2,000. So the city did an excellent job managing its funds for the year. Overall, the audit went really well. You know, I thank Tom and his staff for getting us the stuff on a timely basis. The report is due at the end of this month, so we're well ahead of that deadline in getting it finalized. That's all I have to say. The audit went very smooth, and like I said, every year it's been getting better and better. So,
very good. Thank you, Frank. Any questions? Any questions from the audience? I'm in need of I'm sorry, Dean?
I had a question on page 108. They talk about overlapping governments.
Yeah, that's what I was going
and the allocation of debt. How's that determined? Page 108.
Yeah, that's determined by the amount of area that is covered.
Is it by geography or is it by population?
I believe it's by geography, by EAV. But I'll have to get back to you on that one. But it's percent of area, but I don't think it's geography. I think it is percent of EAV.
Obviously, the audit went very well, but it can't be all good news. There has to be some areas of concern or potential concern or areas for improvement. Is there anything that you can highlight at all that would be of interest to us?
Some of the things that that I mentioned with the new computer software, which wasn't in place for the time of our audit. So the new computer software is implemented for 12-13. So we've seen some of those changes that I talked about will be in next year's audit. What was happening is there were several accounts that were being netted, some revenues and expenses that were being netted into one line instead of being separate and gross up your revenues and your expenses. So those have been separated. A recommendation in a prior audit was to break out the dental and the medical insurance funds and create internal service funds. Those have been created in the new software. What else? Pretty much all of the recommendations that we made in the prior years have been accumulated and changed into this new software change. So we've been coming up with comments. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago we had like a page of 16 comments. And over these last 2 or 3 years, they've all been implemented. And I think this new software change has really helped a lot, the city to be able to, again, get in compliance with the certificate, get in compliance with GASB and GAAP, and be able to have good, accurate information to make good management decisions.
Based on your experience, are there issues that we need to be attentive to with the software changes that we're going through, and that are there areas of potential concern next year that we need to be watching closely?
The biggest concern on any of these implementations, honestly, is the payroll and making sure the payroll has been done right. And I think they just implemented that this week. And the biggest challenges are making sure that the deductions are being proper and people are getting properly paid, and especially when you have union employees and a bunch of different types of withholding, a lot of that can get not inputted right, especially when you're running a new software. Those are the biggest concerns whenever you do any software implementation, is always the payroll, because of how significant it is and how many employees that you have here. So that would be my biggest concern, and we'll work closely with Tom and Finance if there are any problems to make sure by the time we do come out to do the audit, the information is accurate.
Okay, and what is our arrangement with your auditing firm? Where do we stand currently? Are we...
I think you're paid up current.
I know. Do we have a multiple-year contract with your firm?
Yes, you do. The last year of our contract is next year, I believe.
Okay, and you've been with us for?
This is the third year of a four-year contract.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question on the on how you're proceeding from the new world is what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. So you run a concurrent system?
No, we have.
In other words,
this part of it, no, we didn't run concurrently.
Okay.
Except for some of those, like payroll was still being done in MSI. The utility billing is still being done in MSI. But with the financials, we just started on June 4th. We just started in the new system, and
everything seemed to gel
right.
Well. So
yeah, because through the month of May, we were testing, importing the data from MSI into New World, kept testing to make sure everything was going in the right spot.
Okay.
And June 4th, when we went live, we were fairly confident everything moved over into the right place.
And I'm sure that the auditor would have really caught anything.
That'll be next year.
Oh. So you really have to keep your eyes open next year.
Right.
Thank you.
Alderman Cummings.
You go into the pension coverage. How comfortable are you with what rate of returns assumed, and how do we compare to other municipalities on the funding process for police and fire?
You know, the funding is all over the state. Let's see which MRO.
Page 75.
2011. Where's the other one?
Six
It looks like the fire is extremely strong at almost 90%, and it looks like the police is it's a little soft at 60%. I mean, I think the general rule of thumb in the past, not everything has changed. There's been a lot of litigation, a lot of legal stuff going on. I mean, in the past, 75 was seen as a good number. Now I think it's closer to 90 is where they want to see it. So the fire's in excellent shape, and the police have some work to do in getting that up. I can get up through a couple different ways, doing good investing and increasing the contributions into the plan.
And what rate of return? Do you know what rate of return is used to get those figures?
I think 7. Yeah, there's a footnote in here that talks about it. I think it is, yeah, 7.5%.
Yeah, 7.5.
7.5%. Mm-hmm. It's on page 73.
We do have a separate actuary too, who does the funding requirements and those things for the police department, for the pension funds. We have every year we get an actuarial report, and they give us where we're at, where we're going, and what the recommended funding is.
Yeah, all the information for the police and fire pension and IMRF come from a different source that we send a confirmation to them, and they provide that information to us that gets into this report.
Are there any other questions? Anyone from the audience? I believe I'm in need of a motion here. Alderman Hilleberg, a motion is seconded by.
I'll second.
Yeah.
Very. Oh, we had a second.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Yeah. Record the unanimous vote. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
We are now on item 5B, recommend an approval of request by Geneva Chamber of Commerce for street closures and staff resources for annual Christmas walk and related events December 7th, 8th, 2012.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Brown and seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any? Hill? Oh, it was Hill. Yes, it was Hill. Thank you. Any questions on the issue? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Recorded as being unanimous. Item 5C, recommend draft resolution authorizing the execution of an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Illinois Department of Transportation for the Illinois Route 38 and Union Pacific Railroad overpass. Whoa, finally we're getting somewhere on this issue. My understanding is that they are going to begin construction on November the 1st, so are we close to that?
They're shooting for that. They're going to have a pre-construction meeting later this month, and then construction would start sometime in November. That's the plan. One thing I want to make sure is that this agreement also has attachments with exhibits and resolutions. We need to make sure that when we're approving it, that we're also approving these resolutions. I don't know if those have to be voted on individually or if we can do it all in one. There's Exhibit B, which is a funding resolution. Exhibit C is an ordinance restricting parking along Route 38. Exhibit D is ordinance prohibiting the discharge of sanitary and industrial waste into any storm sewer or drainage facility. And Exhibit E is an ordinance prohibiting encroachments within the State of Illinois right of way. So we need to make sure that we are including those ordinances.
Those are all part and parcel to the IGA.
Part of the agreement.
My recommendation, unless Ms. Dawkins disagrees, is to single motion, and if Mr. Radovich thinks we should segregate that at the next council meeting, we'll do so.
Any questions?
I would move to approve the resolution then for purposes of discussion.
All right. And the seconder through, Alderman Oglesberg?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed that there's a lot of funding going on, but it didn't seem like King County was involved in it. They're not a part of this at all?
No, they're not. The portions that we're part of, if you look on Exhibit A, we have water main that exists within
right.
state right-of-way, and whenever they have a project that results in that water main needing to be relocated, it's our cost to have that relocated. We did have a portion of that water main that's on Couch Road where we had an easement.
Right,
they're
that
paying
was West
for that
Chicago,
part.
But now because we're taking it over, is that?
Well, it was West Chicago right-of-way, but since we had an easement for that water main, the state has to pay that portion. So we're splitting the water main about 50-50. Sanitary sewer is all theirs because our sanitary was within easements along the south side of the tracks and then along the west side of Couch Road.
And there was nothing unincorporated, huh? It was just all corporated?
It was all incorporated.
Interesting. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
You may.
I had the pleasure of attending the ceremony, if you will, with Governor Quinn and Secretary Schneider, and despite all the perfunctual acknowledgments, the Secretary of Transportation, a woman named Ann Schneider, singled out the cooperative and the collaborative atmosphere that she found and that her team found in the city of Geneva, in particular you and your team. So I just wanted to go on record thanking you for that. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, yes, Alderman Marks.
You, Dan, just one quick question. You know, I looked in the funding, and there's a conduit for future electrical of $32,500. Are we putting some? Is that us, or is that we're getting charged? I mean,
that what we're doing when they do the road work on Route 38,
okay.
We thought we could put conduits in that roadway, so we don't have to cut it later on or directionally drill it.
Okay.
It'll save us money now, so that in the future, when and if we ever develop to the south, south of the tracks, we'll have a conduit already in place,
great.
Ready to bring electric down there.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any more questions? Are all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Recorded as unanimous. Thank you. We move on down to 5D. We're recommended a draft resolution authorizing the city to enter in an agreement with Hardin Paving for roadway improvements at Prairie Ridge and Stonewood Glen. I need a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Alderman Marks. I need a second.
Second.
Mr. Maladra. Alderman Maladra. Thank you. Any questions by any of the council members? Anyone in the audience? Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Recorded as being unanimous. Thank you. We move on down to item 5E. We are recommending the approval of a zoning MAC amendment, rezoning 6.5 acres of south of 2211, the Innovative Drive, upon annexation from an F farming district to the 1I light industrial district.
So moved.
A motion
second.
Made by Alderman Vogelsberg, second by Alderman Hill. Any questions on the issue? Would you care to address the issue?
If there's no questions, probably not.
No need to.
Fine. Save yourself.
I think maybe if you'd be kind enough as a prelude to just give us some background into just what it is that's being
sure.
done here.
Sure, can do. This is 6.5 acres of property that's owned by Roquette Properties. They have built a facility just to the north of this site on 10 acres, Roquette University. This is located on the west side of Couch Road, just north of the intersection improvement you were just talking about with Dan Dinges. This is property that's currently in F District farming in the unincorporated area adjacent to the city. So this property is being proposed for annexation. Next week at the City Council meeting, there'll be a public hearing on the annexation agreement that staff has been negotiating with the representatives from Roquette. And what this land will be used for. It's anticipated it'll be used for parking area for the continuing development of the Roquette University facility. And Roquette does expect down the road to do larger, in addition to their existing facility, building addition. So that's the purpose behind this.
Thank you, Director Wrench, for that explanation. So we can move on now to item number 5F. We need a vote. I'm sorry. Thank you. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Unanimously approved. Thank you. We move on down to 5F to recommend the approval of a reinstatement and one-year extension to site plan approved for Meadowbrook Manor located on the north side of Kesslinger Road between Eleanor Drive and Fisher Drive. A motion by a motion by Alderman Maladra and seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions for Director Unsch? It might be worth our while to have the audience as well as those in the TV audience as well as the public who have an understanding of the approval of this program.
Yes, we've
the manner in which it's being funded.
Sure. Well, let me just say that this is a site plan review.
Mm-hmm.
That is being the request here is to reinstate and extend the term of the site plan approval that was authorized by the City Council back in 2010. It has been extended one time last year. Site plan approvals that the council authorizes are good for 1 year. And so it's been extended once. The request is to extend it a second time. There are representatives representing Meadowbrook that are here that might care to comment, but the idea here is to extend it for one additional year. And I'm told that they're working on some financing details and hope to move forward with the project this year. But they may want to add something.
Gentlemen, would you like to
I'm Glenn Such, and I'm the attorney for the Meadowbrook Manor. I'm here this evening with Chris Lannert.
Your name is?
Glenn Sechin.
Thank you.
We are in the midst of attempting to get financing. It's HUD financing, and I can best characterize the procedure and the process going through HUD for financing as a dark hole. You have very little clue of what's really happening internally with HUD, but we do have one in this instance because we were asked to update our submission to them just recently, and we promptly did so. So that's usually a sign that we're very close to approval. The way the process works, we have to have all of our local approvals in place before we can even apply to HUD. It's just the nature of the beast. It's one process after another, one approval, then the next application. And that's why we're here today, because if we don't get the approval, then we would have to start all over.
Yes, you will.
Yes.
And that's a long, drawn-out process.
It certainly
and a costly
is.
One as well. Yes. Well, thank you for that explanation. Are there any questions to be asked? Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
I don't really have a question more so than a comment. I'm going to vote against this, and not because of the site approval plan, but because I'm not in favor of the Meadowbrook Manor going into the location that they are because of the right-in, right-out. And I did make that plain on the other votes that I've made. So I just wanted to restate my statement. It's nothing to do with the grant, but it's just the project itself. So,
Alderman Flanagan, you have been consistent on this issue from the beginning.
Just didn't want anybody to, I wanted everybody to understand the reason why I was voting against.
The site happens to fall in Alderman Flanagan's ward, so she's quite abreast of the issue, understands it quite thoroughly. Are there any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I am in need now for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
We have approvals and one negative. Okay. Thank you. Let us move on now down to item 5G. We are recommending the approval of the city-initiated amendments to the Geneva Zoning Ordinance to define the term, quote, collection bin, unquote, and establish regulations allowing collection bins in all zoning districts. I need someone to approve of the amendment.
So moved for purposes of discussion.
Second. Approval by Alderman Klingberg and seconded by Alderman Aladra. Any questions on the issue from the IS? Anyone in the audience?
Ron, I'll have a question.
Please come forward. Alderman Aladra.
Mr. Unch. Lost my page. Hold on a sec. So last committee meeting, we talked about joint responsibility. Can you explain to me how we are attempting to gain joint responsibility?
Well, we've recommended in your packet, you will see in our staff memo, we've added language to the 12 conditions or requirements that are tied to collection bins that simply state that where a collection bin operator is not the owner of the property on which the collection bin is located, the collection bin operator and property owner shall be held jointly and severably liable for adhering to the provisions of this chapter and any fees or penalties associated therewith. We had a chance to discuss this concept with Attorney Radovich, and certainly as we move forward with the official ordinance, for City Council consideration, we'll continue to work with Attorney Radovich on that to make sure it's in its final form that it's properly.
Okay, so in effect, this makes the care and maintenance and the upkeep of these boxes, bins, whatever we're calling them, the responsibility of the property owner on which the box sits.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to clarify the concern about the historic district, you felt that it wasn't really
right.
Necessary.
The historic district regulations deal with work on the exterior of historic properties that requires a building permit. And while we are requiring a permit procedure for these kinds of facilities or boxes or bins, whatever we're calling them, the fact remains that they're temporary structures. They're moved on and off the property, and it just does not make sense to extend the authority of the Historic District Commission to this type of matter. It's really a zoning matter. It's not a preservation matter.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we clarified that.
Yep.
Alderman Marks.
Dick, just one question. We settled on the $250 annual fee. Is that correct? Is that where we?
That was
a lot of discussion.
Yeah, there were. That's where staff understood that the discussion ended up at the Committee of the Whole 2 weeks ago. The original staff recommendation, going back to our Plan Commission discussions, was I think $100. And I remember the commission members stating during the public hearing that, are we in effect as a city really covering our costs if we continue to have to deal with issues at the sites where these are located, right, and making contact with bin operators or property owners and just the process of really policing and observing how these bins are being maintained. The commission felt pretty strongly about raising the annual fee to $250.
Does that cover our cost, though? I mean, I remember that was a discussion we had, and we didn't come to a conclusion.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable permit fee amount, and I think it does a good job of covering our costs. We try to set our fee amounts so that we're not making money,
but we're
covering our costs, and certainly $250 is going to cover our administrative paperwork, and you can kind of, calculate out what it would take in terms of surveillance and enforcement activity. if we're talking somewhere in the range of, you know, $25-$30 per inspection at the site, you can see how over the course of the year that you could easily run into a half a dozen or more kinds of contacts on each bin. So that's how we looked at it from a staff perspective, and I think it's a reasonable fee given the potential exposures here.
And the fines, are, if they do, are they not in compliance, do those step up each time, or how's that working?
Well, the fines would be set really through either a court proceeding or our adjudication hearing process.
So it's not something we set in the ordinance?
Right,
then.
Correct. Okay. If we have enforcement problems where we have property owners or bin operators that are unresponsive, these will go to our local adjudication hearing officer.
Okay. So it's not something we just set in the ordinance,
correct,
that they set that? Fine. Okay, thank you.
Alderman of Oglesburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it should be easier because the bins will be against a property and the owner will know they're there, and there'll be shared liability, right?
Right,
so
right.
At least you'll know who to contact if in doubt.
Well, we're going to have the permit information, you know, in the application form itself. It's certainly the belief of staff and the research that we've done combined with the discussion we had at the Plan Commission that these collection bins or donation boxes being located next to abutting the principal building on the property goes a long way towards bringing those more within the realm of store management and daily store operations. And if there's a problem with maintenance, we think there's going to be some natural desire to police these bins when they're located next to the building, as opposed to being separated off out in the middle of a parking field or at the edge of the property and almost out of sight, out of mind.
So, and were you going to amend it about no wooden structures?
Yes, we've had some conversation just internally on a staff level, and we've got those 12 requirements that we've added or that we've incorporated in the recommendation. So we've got a 13th one here that's just labeled construction quote, and the language that we would recommend be incorporated into this, if this moves forward, would be: collection bins shall be constructed of steel or other non-combustible materials. Collection bins shall not be constructed of wood, plastic, or any other combustible material. And this really came out through our staff discussions with our fire department, and the idea was let's keep the non-combustibles when we've got a bin located next to the building.
You know what I've asked, so if you want to go to Alderman Clinton.
I just had a question. Is there any, I've read it a couple of times, there isn't anything that distinguishes the collection bin as it relates to for profit or for charity. Is that your understanding?
It's absolutely our understanding. It's the opinion of staff, and we've had some discussion with legal counsel. We haven't asked him to opine in great detail. But we have discussed that issue of regulations for...
I'm not saying that we make a decision one way or another. I'm saying, though, in the permitting process, though, could there be a request for information as relates to whether or not this collection bin is for charity or for profit?
There's actually a requirement that a for-profit or not-for-profit label be placed on the bin, so that it's clear to the public that it's for-profit or not-for-profit. But the point I was going to make is that what we don't want to see happen here, at least our staff opinion, that going down the path of somehow doing a regulatory separation, a set of rules for for-profit and a set of rules for not-for-profit, is simply not good practice. We think there's some constitutional issues there. Involving equal protection, and so our attorney felt that would really not be a good general approach to take. If the council wanted to, he'd have to do some more research on that.
That would be item I that requests clarification as to whether or not it is a nonprofit or
a
profit,
correct,
and that has to be designated on the bin itself. Okay,
that's correct.
I'm sorry.
That's no problem.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still concerned about these units, Dick, as you know. And I just don't want to see them show up in downtown Geneva. Mm-hmm. And I don't see a very effective way to prevent that. I'm just very, very much concerned now. What about other neighboring communities? Do we have neighboring communities or communities in the area that are using, allowing these boxes in their towns and putting these similar restrictions on them so that they have to live by them?
We've done pretty extensive survey work. David DeGroot, our city planner's done some background work on this, and really, this is a pretty hot topic in a number of different municipalities, and a number of municipalities have addressed the issue, and the regulations are all over the board. I would say that you've got a number of municipalities that are just prohibiting them outright, but you have many municipalities that are taking this approach that has at least evolved through our process thus far on this, of allowing them, but with requirements and regulations that you know, speak to the various issues that have been raised here in terms of providing reasonable assurances that these are going to be properly located on property and are not going to create nuisance or safety issues.
What about the proprietors of the business that has applied to have these boxes in our community? Do they have any concerns or questions about some of the requirements that have been proposed?
At this point, we haven't had a lot of conversation with them, but I'm not hearing anything in the way of concerns. I don't know, David, do we have any contact with any of these folks?
Thank you very much.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on Alderman Kilberg's question, how is a nonprofit determined? Is it a 501c3?
Well, I mean that's my typical
way of defining them. Right.
But I think we would need to do, if someone says they're not for profit, they should really demonstrate that they are, you know, as a part of the application
and
process.
And they're used to it.
And we can
do
that.
Thank you.
I have a follow-up question to that.
Alderman Hill.
Well, if they do designate that they are 501c3 and a not-for-profit organization, are there different rules for those folks versus the business that?
The point that I was trying to make earlier is that from the standpoint of where this concern came from, how the Plan Commission discussed it, how the staff has analyzed it, this is zoning. This is not about for-profit or not-for-profit. Now, you can philosophically debate that point about, you know, whether people are willingly giving their article of clothing or their pair of shoes that they don't need anymore. Are they giving it to a for-profit or not-for-profit group? And you can certainly, you know, make that clear. And our regulations as proposed here do make that clear, that that's got to be on the box. But the main focus of this is on the commercial environment that the city council has directed the city staff to create. And it's being created by zoning regulations that have been set by the council. We have spent in some of these commercial districts where the bins are occurring, this council has spent years and years of working with individual property owners and development entities, creating a quality and character of commercial development. Gets into the landscaping requirements, the limitations on signage, the architecture of the buildings, the materials used in the construction of the buildings. There's a lot that goes into creating a first-class commercial development character in your community. And whether it's a for-profit or not-for-profit is not the issue. Is this kind of temporary structure that in our experience has a wide range of possibilities in terms of hazards and safety and, quite frankly, site clutter issues that really run afoul of the quality and character of commercial development that you've been working to establish. So it's on that basis that the staff has approached the regulations that are proposed and that the Plan Commission considered. and we really have not focused on the for-profit or not-for-profit aspect of this because it's not pertinent to the environment, and really the zoning regulations are designed to create a quality environment.
Alderman Marks.
Yeah, well, there's a few issues in here that trouble me, but one of the major ones is the location. You know, we're letting them in street yard, side yard, and rear yard. Can we limit that to the street yard?
Well,
because I'm in the back of the building, on the side of the building, I'm not sure that the owner of the building is going to see it as much as if they see it, you know, as customers are walking in and out. I mean, especially where they are out off of Randall Road in the rear, you know, they're going to go sight unseen for a while, and that's my concern there.
Yeah, we did look at that issue, and there are so many different circumstances, because not only do you have situations like out on Randall Road, but we have so many commercial properties that are just have got a freestanding building that's sitting in the center of a zoning lot in a single-user situation. And our thinking was that while you might have the Randall Road situations, there's just too many other situations where it just makes sense to provide that opportunity. And there may be some perfectly legitimate locations on the rear of a building where it would make sense. The mainline shopping centers, it's a little bit different out there. But we have many more commercial areas than just that area.
And it's only one bin per...
One bin per zoning lot or principal use. So if you had a shopping center and say it had four different owners, or it had four different lots dividing the shopping center, there could be a bin on each individual ownership. Correct.
Okay. Not by planned unit development, actually.
Correct.
Can we do it by planned unit development or not?
Well, not all commercial development is planned unit development.
Okay.
You know, so you could probably do it to each individual zoning lot or development. We'd have to do some wordsmithing on that. But if you wanted to take, you know, a shopping center and say there's only one bin allowed for that entire shopping center, that could be another way to go. But the thinking here was that you've got different ownerships often in commercial development where a multi-tenant building is split into different ownerships. We thought it was reasonable from at least a staff position.
The way you see them all over, especially out on Randall Road, I mean, there's a ton of them out there right now.
If I can just jump in here, the central regulatory aspect of this that the staff and the Plan Commission focused on was placing the bin next to the building where it's not out of sight, out of mind.
That's why the rear yard caused me some problems, but I understand why you're doing it.
We are seeing some pretty appalling conditions. Mm-hmm. When the bin is located 300-400 feet from the front door of the business, and it's clear that nobody cares.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah,
Mr. Runch, it's possible that during the discussion you've emulated the issues regarding violations and penalties. I have a concern as to the maintenance, that if there's any debris of any items that are outside of the box, they shall be promptly removed. Where does the responsibility lie? Is it the property owner that's responsible for this or the owner of the bin?
Well, it's my belief that both are responsible, but we're going to be calling that property owner first. But they're both responsible.
And if they do not comply, what then is the penalty?
Then they are cited as being in violation of our zoning ordinance, and then we prosecute that case. If they're unresponsive, just like any other property maintenance issue, if they're notified of the violation and they're unresponsive, after two attempts to contact them and they do not contact us, and if they do contact us, if they do not act promptly, then we have the ability to take them that case to the local adjudication hearing officer. They receive a summons, and they're required to appear before the hearing officer and explain why they cannot comply with the city's code. If they are found in violation of, basically guilty, found in violation of the code, then the hearing officer sets the penalties, the fines, and would typically order that compliance be achieved immediately.
And can we revoke their permit?
Yes. Yeah, there's a revocation provision in the proposed ordinance.
Okay.
If their permit is revoked, they will not be able to reapply for one year.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Alderman Vogel.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Alderman Waladra.
So, as I was thinking about this over the weekend, I found myself wondering how is it we got into a position where we spend so much time bending over backwards and trying to figure out how to make something work for businesses that are basically not part of Geneva at all. Contributing sales tax money, contributing anything that we get direct benefit from. But I think that where we're at right now, we have an ordinance that requires a business that is contributing directly to Geneva to agree with one of these businesses to put a box on their property.
Correct.
So that business owner cares enough about whatever business that is. Cares enough to accept responsibility for the condition of the box and the place that dropped in the side of around it. That business owner is held responsible to the extent that we're paid from the court if they're not compliant. And so if we've got business owner in town that says, hey, this is important to me and I want to do it, then we've got an ordinance that allows them to do it. So I think that this came out. It's a lot better than what's left.
Any other questions? There are people in the audience that would like to speak to the issue. Ma'am, you please come forward, address us, give us your name, address, please.
Good evening. My name is Carol Smith. I reside at 122 North Lincoln Avenue here in Geneva. And I watched the last recorded meeting on the collection bin system and just wanted to express that I do use them, and I think that we should probably try to find a way to have them in the community. When I researched use again after the meeting, I thought, pretty astounding company, pretty nice track record. And I also looked a little bit more at Goodwill and found out that they do a lot of recycling as well. And I think there's room for both in the community because recycling is such an important issue. And to find out that use again does do the recycling of the textiles was a huge important concept for me, and I think that I would urge you to try to find a way to allow them to have their bins on in Geneva somehow.
You will have that response momentarily.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience like to speak to the issue? If none, I would like to have a voice vote on this issue, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Roll call.
Chair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever you'd like.
Roll call.
All set. Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Waladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Thank you. Recorded as a unanimous vote. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now we move on to the next item of our business, which is new business. And we do have someone in the audience that would like to address the council. Colin, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Alderman Singer. My name is Colin Campbell. I live at 18 South 6th Street in Geneva. As I know everyone here is aware, a citizen of Geneva, Merritt King, passed away this last year. What I'm about to say, I know that you all know by heart, but for the record, Merritt was, I believe, a lifelong resident of Geneva. If it wasn't absolutely lifelong, it probably seemed that long. He was a unique man in this city. He was a genuine World War II hero. His actions in Normandy saved tens of thousands of lives. Returned to Geneva, ran a successful business, was deeply involved in many community organizations throughout his tenure living here. But I think of most importance, he was one of the longest-serving aldermen on the city council. And he was intimately involved many years ago when this city began the planning process that has resulted in the city we have today. He has a lot of responsibility for that. And many other things that I think people are not aware of. For example, just one little thing. Kate Raftery collected and brought back a 17th century nativity creche from Italy, priceless. And somewhere after she passed away, it was lost. And Merritt found it and saved it. And it is now on display. It's been renovated and restored, and it's on display in the History Center every year. I would like to propose that the city, the people of the city of Geneva, create a permanent memorial to be placed in the downtown area to Merritt King. Something along the line, physically, of the plaque that Alderman Flanagan was responsible for having placed for Paul Dakota for his role in creating the beautification project in the city. I've spoken with Merritt's two daughters, Leslie and Allison. They're both very much in favor of doing something along this line. I've spoken with my two aldermen, Mr. Hill, Mr. Brown. Both are in favor of exploring it. And I have not taken it much further than that at this point. What I have in mind would be, this is just my own idea, but this is, nothing's written stone yet. I would like to see a plaque, probably, you know, medium-sized plaque with memorial, you know, his name and something about him on it. And one thing that came to mind, since he, I believe, was one of the aldermen, maybe one of the key aldermen responsible for the old gas lamps on 3rd Street, to put it by the History Center, because he was deeply involved with the History Center. I've talked with the executive director of the History Center, Terry Emma. She would love to have something like that in front of the History Center. So just one possible proposal, and this is just one thing we might do. If you have pictured, I probably should have gotten a photograph, but didn't think of that. If you picture the front of the History Center, there's a sidewalk going out to 3rd Street. And on either side of that sidewalk is a bench, steel benches. And those are set, and it's set on the red brick pavers that are used throughout the downtown. What we might do is extend one of those pads, either to the north or to the south, with the same brick pavers, and build a small pedestal on that out of brick pavers and place the plaque there. But that's up for discussion. What I would like to do tonight is to ask you as a city council to consider this and to give me some direction. If you would like to proceed with it, I would be more than happy to work with the city staff, with you, and with whoever. And I would also be more than happy to run a fundraising drive to raise the money to purchase and place the memorial if we can do that. But at this point, because it is a city issue, I have to leave it up to you and follow your direction.
Thank you. Any comment? Alderman Vogelsberg?
I think that's a great idea, especially because you came up with a plan, you know where to put it, you're willing to do the fundraising, and just like you, that's my favorite story of Merritt King, that not only did he save the creche, but he saved it because he knew, he recognized the boxes. So I think that would be a perfect tribute.
Alderman Hill, if you have something to say.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you're interested in appointing a committee to study this and look into it. I know this is a committee of the whole tonight. We could think about that tonight and formalize it next week, perhaps.
Well, the topic is timely, and I think Ms. Dawkins might be aware of this Ms. McKittrick is intimately aware of this. Of course, she's not with us tonight, but there is a plan in place to actually allow for such, for lack of a better word, signage, tribute, what have you, throughout the downtown.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that as well, Colin?
I know that there is, but okay. I'm not familiar with it beyond that.
It's the details are being put in place right now. It's in cooperation not only with our own, the city's own contribution guidelines, but also in cooperation with the Department of Public Works and others. And very, very crisply, I'll define it as such. The intent is to identify rights of way throughout the community mm-hmm. that could be used for either plaques to honor someone, to memorialize someone, to recognize someone, etc. And, for example, the sidewalk in front of the History Center. Mm-hmm. If it so becomes that this is an appropriate location for to honor Mary King, then that would be so designated. And to your point, then the fundraising would be responsible by those who choose to designate and or honor that individual, as opposed to becoming a community expense or a city expense.
Yeah.
But it's the timing is perfect because that plan is actually being put in place.
Okay.
Stephanie, have I left anything out on that, or can you?
I don't remember, but they came to council several months ago.
Several months ago, yeah.
So it's similar to this to the Walk of Fame. I mean, it's
requirements.
Yeah. Kind of like that's out there, but that's...
Yeah, it's similar to what you see out there now. You know, on this site once stood the West Side School. It's very similar to that, but we want to open up the right-of-ways to allow for more, not to create Disneyland, but to create appropriate recognition of members of the community who contributed so much that they or perhaps a group needs to be recognized in a certain way.
I think that that's a very important thing for this city, to recognize the people who have made those kinds of contributions, and I don't think a lot of cities do it. And I think it's a very important thing. And I can remember at least one occasion, a woman looking at the little triangular plaques that are embedded in the sidewalk and saying, "Are people buried here?" And I asked
That's
her
the
to
other read. Option, by the way.
I asked her to read it, and then she said, "Oh, that's interesting." So yeah.
I think that it's a really great idea, and I do remember the group that came in front of us. And the only thing I can add to it is that I'm sure there'll be some guidelines, et cetera, to follow. Nobody can just put up a plaque because they want to put up a plaque, but
and it would require
go to
council
prom.
Approval.
Would you like to come to prom with me?
It would require council approval because it's the issuance and usage of the right of ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and that'll be guidelines will be established, what have you.
So what should we do?
I'm wondering if we might not entice some young man who's looking to become an Eagle Scout to venture into this as well.
Call back Colin? Well, I would suggest why don't you and I huddle with Mary Stephanie tomorrow. We'll get more information. We can huddle with her via telephone.
Okay.
We'll drag her out of her conference. And we'll correspond with the entire council and yourself and at least give everybody a ballpark as to where this stands.
Okay. So. That'd be fine. I'll wait to hear from you, and I'm, there's no great rush on this, but I would like to move forward on it.
Sure.
With the approval of the city.
And keep in mind, rights of ways don't just exist in downtown. They exist throughout. I for one, believe that an appropriate plaque would be pretty darn cool on East Side Drive recognizing the old Moore Farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the downtown seems also appealing, but there's things throughout the community where people have lived, contributed, done whatever, that I think lends itself to that kind of opportunity.
I agree. But I just personally think merit belongs on Third Street.
I'll help you, Colin, whenever you get started.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex, for your commentary. Are there any other questions to come before the council this evening? Very good. Reminding everyone, the upcoming meeting of the Committee of the Whole will be taking place on October 22nd. I am now looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Marks and seconded by Alderman Hill. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'd like to remind the audience that we are having a special meeting of the City Council in about 5 minutes. So.
in it.
Wow, you might have to break those all out.
There's this
special meeting of the city council.
Can I get a tech packet on? Really?
Just for that.
Call the meeting of the special. Call a special meeting of the City Council to order. Mr. Clerk, would you please take the roll?
Don Cummings
here.
Dorothy Flanagan
here.
Sam Hill
here.
Dean Kilberg
here.
Greg Maladra
here.
Richard Marks
here.
Ron Singer
here.
Don Vogelsberg
here.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Notice is hereby given that the City Council of the City of Geneva shall conduct a special meeting on Monday, October the 8th, 2012, immediately following the regular committee of the whole meeting at 7 p.m. The special meeting will be held at the City Council's chambers, Geneva, Illinois, for the purpose of considering the following items. Item number one, we need a motion to recommend the resolution number 2012-94, which authorizes the execution of the intergovernmental agreement with the State of Illinois Department of Transportation for the Illinois Route 38 and Union Pacific Railway overpass.
So moved. So moved.
Motion made by Alderman Marks and seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, I believe the motioner and the seconder would concur that this motion includes all attachments thereto, including the resolutions.
Yes.
Yes.
And ordinances.
And ordinances.
Any questions on the motion? Mr. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Recorded unanimously. Thank you, council members. Number two, to recommend the resolution number 2012-95, authorizing the city to enter into agreement with hardened paving for the roadway improvements at Prairie Ridge and Stonewood Glen.
So moved.
Second.
By Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any discussion? Mr. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Recorded unanimously. I now need another motion.
Yeah,
Mr.
can I
Marks?
Make a motion to waive the fees for tonight's meeting?
Second.
Motion made by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any discussion? This is a roll call vote needed, Mr. Clerk.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Thank you. I need a motion to close the special meeting of the City Council. Motion made by Alderman Hill. Seconded.
Second.
By Alderman Marks. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Have the motion recorded as being unanimous. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention and all our items this evening. And have a safe journey home.
Now they.